What if the one thing was holding you back isn't a lack of willpower or discipline or talent? What if it's a belief that you don't even know that you have? Most of us assume running our own lives, making our own choices, thinking our own thoughts, but today's guest has spent more than 3 decades proving something unsettling and freeing at the same time. A huge amount of what we do, avoid, fear, and sabotage is being driven by invisible beliefs we are quietly conditioned into long before we ever got to say. In other words, we've been hypnotized and we don't even know it. The good news, you can wake up. And by the end of this conversation, you'll understand exactly how. Now, my guest today is one of the most experienced people in the world at the work of personal transformation. Andrew Parr is a published author, a therapist, and a personal development specialist with 33 years of experience and more than 20,000 to one client sessions behind him. His acclaimed book, The Real You, lays out his approach for escaping the limitations that we've been conditioned to accept. A method endorsed by people from Wim Hof to best-selling author Nancy Klein. He blends his hypnotherapy, his psychotherapy, coaching, and CBT into a root-caused approach to change. He trains others, practitioners, do the same through his academy. Now, Andrew, welcome to the show. I am so excited to have you here.
Hi, Stacey. Thanks so much for inviting me. It's a real pleasure to be here. Looking forward to having a chat with you.
I'm so excited to begin this. You know, I want to start by... You know, let's start with the person who's going to feel like you're reading their mind. They keep hitting the same wall, the same pattern in relationships, the same self-sabotage at work, the same ceiling. They can't break through it. You know, they've tried hard, they've read books, and they still can't figure out why they keep ending up in the same place. Now, you said that the answer is usually an invisible belief, something, you know, like, I'm not good enough, I don't deserve to be happy, I don't belong. Where do these beliefs actually come from?
They usually come from our early days. That's the easiest place they can get imprinted. If you think of this idea of being hypnotized, life hypnotizing us, and in simple terms, anytime somebody says something to you or to us, we don't challenge it and we accept that idea, it's kind of like we're hypnotizing ourselves. There's a rule in the world of hypnotherapy that says all hypnosis is really self-hypnosis. So if somebody says something, we internalize it and then we focus it inside. So let's say if we're small, if we're young and somebody says something that makes us feel not good enough in some way and we internalize that, we hypnotize ourselves, we condition ourselves to then feel not good enough or not lovable enough or not wanted, for example. Those are very common ideas. And then those then become conditions that we live by. They become like filters how we see the world. And that filter influences how we feel and what we expect to happen, which impacts our behavior, which then impacts the choices we make. And it becomes a perpetuating cycle as we go through life. So it's very uncanny. But what happens then is we almost recreate the same situations again and again. Maybe the characters change or the scenario changes, but the feeling changes. And that's why we end up in repetitive relationships or difficult work situations or health issues where we feel the same as we felt again and again and again. And intellectually, we try to break it. It's like our head's doing one thing, but something inside of us is doing something else. And that's where the problem arises. Then.
Wow. And why is it so hard for us to see the very things that are running our lives?
I call this Einstein loops. Albert Einstein is famously quoted as saying something like, you cannot solve a problem with the same thinking that created it. And yet that's what most of us try and do when we're trying to solve our problems. So take a simple example, first of all, someone with low self-worth or low self-belief will try and do something to make them have better self-worth. If they don't feel good enough, they try and do something to make them feel good enough or enough in some way. But that really is trying to solve the problem from the same thinking that created it, and it will just perpetuate the cycle. Something I noticed over all the 20,000 or so client sessions I've carried out is whatever feeling drives a behavior will tend to create more of the same feeling. So if somebody comes from a place of lack and acts from that, they will create more lack. Somebody that comes from desperation, they'll create desperation. If it's from shame or guilt, they'll create more shame and guilt. It doesn't matter what it is. The same feeling creates the same, more of the same behavior. So when people get stuck in that loop, they think they're doing something to try and fix it or break out of it, but they're really just setting themselves up for more of the same until they can get outside of that loop. And that's why a lot of people get stuck. without realizing it.
Wow, that's fascinating. Now, this is the idea in your work that I find most fascinating, and I want to give it real time. Now, you've talked about dehypnotizing the notion that ordinary life quietly hypnotizes us in believing things that are, you know, ourselves that we would never, were never true to begin with. So unpack that for us. Like, what do you actually mean when you say you've been hypnotized?
Well, if we take the classic use of hypnotized, as in someone's been made to, you know, the swinging watch and you will think this and you will do that, that's not how it really works. But if you think of the cliched version of it, someone takes on board an idea and they then act as if it's true. They live by it as if it's true. So if it's, just use the self-worth one because that sits at the bottom of a lot of things. Someone's made to feel they're not worthy in some way. They will then go through life acting as someone who is not worthy. They will then carry that identity with them wherever they go, whatever they do. And it's not true that they're not worthy because everybody has self-worth. Sometimes we can lose sight of our self-worth, but that self-worth never changes. But they act as if it is. So they're acting on a false belief. Now, many, many people don't realize that. They think, oh, it's just the way I feel. It's just the way I am. And they do things and say, I always get bad luck. I always make the wrong choices. But really, it's just an inner conditioning kind of attracting them to the same things to make them feel the same way again.
Right.
And even if people become very aware and consciously try to break it, if they don't challenge that internal inner belief system, the conditioning, they're working at a more surface level and not the real root cause level. And this makes it tricky for people to create real change because these ideas are invisible. And usually they're not a belief in people's minds that people think it as fact. Well, I am that way. That's me. That's what I am. Okay. But actually, no, it's not. It's a belief you have about yourself or about the world rather than reality. So helping people kind of peel away that can be quite tricky to do yourself, but it's why sometimes it's easier just talking to someone else to have someone be able to spot it for you and point it out for you.
Right. Now, how does that, you know, conditioning get installed by like family, school, culture, experiences without permission and often without anyone meaning any harm?
But yeah, I mean, all those things you said, any kind of authority figure in your mind, anyone that you believe an external idea more than your own, or if you internalize an external idea and make that idea gets absorbed. And remember this idea that all hypnosis is really self-hypnosis. So life does something and then we internalize that and we take on board that idea. And if there's a strong emotional impact around it, that kind of the idea kind of gets wrapped in emotional conditioning and that kind of stays with us. And one of the things that makes it difficult to let go of that is because usually there's painful emotions wrapped around it. And getting to that, to let go of it, means feeling the painful emotions again. So most people are trying to resolve things, trying to solve problems, trying to have a positive mindset and trying to think positive and use willpower and push on through. But actually, really what they're doing is they're just avoiding that pain. And that can keep them really stuck. And it's the pain, the emotional pain wrapped around an idea is what kind of conditions us, even if people don't mean to. These aren't always huge traumas. Sometimes that they are from extreme adverse experiences, but sometimes just a parent or a teacher maybe making a casual comment at the wrong time can just really go straight to the heart and we go, ooh, and we take it on board. So it's not always big dramas, big traumas. It's something that feels strong enough and intense enough that we focus on it for long enough with enough emotion that it sticks in our mind. And those are the kind of things that stay with us. And they're quite tricky to spot until you know how to look for them yourself, because we're not taught to deal with it. We're taught to, you know, do the opposite in a way. Push it aside or get on with it, be positive, pull yourself together and find a way through.
That's so true. And what does it actually take to start like waking up from it?
If you do it for yourself, what you have to do, obviously awareness is the first thing. You've got to be aware of what's going on. So most people are reacting to what's happening. Somebody says something or does something or a situation arises and this inner part of us where these problems tend to sit tends to act about 10 times faster than our conscious mind can process information. So we can walk into a situation, find ourselves triggered 10 times faster than our mind can catch up with it. And then our mind is trying to deal with that as well. So we've got the first thing going on and the secondary thing. So there's not a lot we can do about the first one by ourselves, but the reaction to it, we can do. Then we can begin to think, okay, that's happened. Now I'm thinking this, now I'm feeling this. The usual response is to try and do something to get away from that feeling as fast as possible. Get out of the room, get out of the situation, change what I'm feeling to try and do something about that. That's the usual response. But if you can be brave enough to just sit with that feeling just long enough to acknowledge it, and it's almost like if you treat it as like a living being, a living person within yourself, you know, a bit like in a child therapy in a way, if you think of it as this feeling I'm suddenly experiencing, this is a part of me that's probably still living within me. And if you can just simply be aware of it, almost like saying, look, I hear you, I see you, I know you're there, I feel you, and just sit with that, even just for a few seconds, it just brings it to the surface a little bit more. And if you can do that enough times slowly and gently, then it gets close to the surface so your mind can begin to process it. And then maybe then you feel ready to talk about it with someone and you can go talk about it and it's much more easier for it to come out. And it can happen quite quickly, or that may take weeks or months or years sometimes doing it by yourself. But when you've got someone like myself and you sit with a client, then I can help them quieten their mind and I can take them on a journey down to where that is usually pretty quickly. And that's when you get pretty rapid transformations, because I can get to the heart of it for someone. Help them tap into that feeling, help them bypass the fear. They talk about it, they express what's really going on, not just talk about the problem, but they express the core idea. And when they do that, pouring out, and then you see people change in a few minutes when that happens. And it's a really beautiful thing to witness. So there's two ways of doing it. You know, if you by yourself, you can. It takes courage and persistence and patience. If you talk to the right person, they can usually get you there a lot quicker.
Yeah, for sure. That's amazing. Now, I think this is where so many people get stuck and blame themselves. They try willpower. They try positive affirmations. They try traditional talk therapy. They're going over the same story again and again, and nothing seems to shift at the deepest level. Now, you work at the root cause instead. You know, what's the difference between managing a symptom and resolving the actual cause?
Okay, so I give you, let's say, a simple example from my training academy where I train practitioners. I always do demos once a month on some of the students. And a lady a few months ago said she wanted my help with the final stages of weight loss. She said she kept losing weight, but every time she got close to the getting there, she'd sabotage it and start eating again. And what we discovered, and it didn't take long for her, was she had a fear of being seen. That was her real fear. She didn't want to be seen because of things from her earlier days experiences. So when we resolved this fear of being seen and people seeing her, then it was okay to come out of the extra weight she was carrying and be seen in life. Now, if it had worked on the eating and the weight, that would have been okay. But that would have been eventually running up a down escalator. It would sabotage again by going three layers down to what was it like being seen, the idea of being seen. What was that like? Where did that leave you? I always ask things in three questions, three levels deep, I call it. Okay. So there's the situation, there's the thing that makes you feel, and there's the what's the result of that? Where does that leave you? What's the net outcome of that? And if you can work at that net outcome down there, that's usually where the change needs to occur. So this lady, it was to do with the weight was a cover up. The fear of being seen was the fear. And then the personal things she'd been through in life that programmed her to not feel safe being seen was the real issue.
Right.
So when we resolved that for her, suddenly it was okay to be seen. And therefore it was okay to finish losing the weight. That's a simple example if that makes sense. You think of these three ideas.
No, that makes sense.
The situation, the feelings, and what's the net result of that? And if people are brave enough to focus on the net result, that'll usually start to open up the deeper layer within themselves.
Wow. And why does so many of them usually, you know, usual approaches leave people feeling that they failed when they really, you know, the approach itself was never going to reach the real problem anyway?
Yeah, there's a lot of brilliant people in the motivation and positive thinking world and mindset world doing a lot of brilliant work. So there's no judgment of that. But if it doesn't take into account the conditioning, the emotional conditioning, and doesn't deal with that, people will always be like pulling against a giant elastic band that's going to snap them back like a doing effect, I call it. A lot of the time I say to people, because they come to me and say, I've read the positive thinking books. And I said, yeah, I read that too. It's rubbish, isn't it? It didn't work. They go, yeah. Finally agreed it doesn't work. As a lot of positive thinking is just wishful thinking. We're taught to be positive, to have positive affirmations, have positive mantras, and say, I am this, I am this. But there's a voice at the back of your mind going, no, you're not. No, you're not. No, you're not. Unless you deal with that voice, you're just fighting against yourself. Sometimes I say, look, imagine there's a river you're trying to cross, and your mind being positive gets across the river, But your body, which your subconscious, carrying the feelings and emotions, is still on this side. So your head's trying to get there. Your body's here. You're going to just splash in the water. So your head and your emotions have to be lined up together. Sometimes if you're trying to achieve something, think of this: head, heart, gut, go. Your head has an idea. Your heart's got to be into it. Your gut, which is where your fear is, has to be free and letting it happen. And then you can go and take action.
Yeah.
If any of those are out of alignment, you're gonna be trying one or the other and not getting anywhere.
Right.
Thoughts, your passion, fear, and action have to line up together. So a lot of people so dedicated, they work, I'm so positive, I'm trying this, but they're not realizing they've got this invisible anchor inside of themselves.
Yeah.
Pulling them back, they just realize it because no one's showed them where to look for it. That's why my book, The Real You, when Penguin asked me to write that, I said, look, I can do a self-help book if you want, but it's not going to be a nice, fluffy one. It's going to be a real one that's going to ask all the questions people don't usually ask. It's going to take people on the journey that I take clients on. And that means we're not doing lovely, warm affirmations. We're saying, what's going on? What are you really thinking? What are you really afraid of? What's making you feel that way? To push you to find that answer in yourself. Because then when you hit that answer, it's like, ooh, gosh, is that really what I think? Is that really what I feel? Which is horrible, first of all. But the moment you do that, it's like, ooh, there's a sense of freedom comes, because then you can deal with the cause and then you can begin to work on it. And I really feel for a lot of people who would be trying to be super positive, because it's not your fault. You're trying to run against a giant elastic band, a rubber band pulling you back. But you've got to turn around and take it off, and then you can begin to move forward more effortlessly.
That's so true. That's so true. And for the listeners out there, if you ever felt like there is a version of you that you can't quite reach, like something invisible keeps pulling you back no matter how hard you try, this is the conversation that might finally explain why. Follow The Advisor with Stacey Chalemi right now. Every week, we bring you the experts and the conversations that help heal at the root and become who you really are. This is the heart of the message, and it's such a hopeful one. You believe the trust, happiest, most capable version of us isn't something that we have to build from scratch. It's already there, hidden underneath all those layers of conditioning. We just have to clear what is covering it. What happens to that someone when they actually are able to take those invisible beliefs and finally lift them?
What happens is they tend to say three things, because I saw this thousands of times. They say, I feel lighter. I feel free. I feel I can finally be myself. And I had so many people say that again and again. I feel lighter. I feel free. I can finally be myself. I finally got permission to be me. And then I said, well, what does that mean now? They said, well, I can do anything. And they feel free to go and start fulfilling their lives. I think of this, there's this three steps from limitation, which is where we're held back. Liberation is where you break free of that. And once you've got that, then you can create more fulfillment, because you're free to be your more fuller self, your more truer self, shall we say.
Yeah.
A lot of people are still trying to, what am I here for? What's my purpose? And trying to find that, but they're still stuck in a limitation loop. Okay. You break free of the fears and become yourself, then it just falls into place naturally. So if anyone's struggling to try and get that point, it just means you've got some invisible barriers in you that you can't quite see just yet. So take a step back.
Yeah.
Just sitting quietly, suddenly, just being aware, asking yourself. You know, people often talk about the subconscious mind and programming and rewiring it. I see this all over the place, but as if it's some kind of computer, and it isn't. You have to realize the subconscious mind is very conscious. It's like a very conscious part of ourselves, a deeper inner self and inner wisdom, like a friend who's there to help us and support us. And all we have to do is slow down and start to listen, and you can communicate with it. You can get wisdom from it. Sometimes consciously, sometimes in quiet moments, sometimes in dreams. You can use dreams to communicate, but we're not taught this in school. So we have to find out from reading books. These kind of interviews that you do, amazing people like yourself are putting the wisdom out there. This is where you have to learn it from. But we're not alone in the world. There's an inner wisdom in ourselves that's always there trying to help us.
Yeah.
And I've been through it. You've been through it. I know many of your listeners will have been through it. There's moments where it feels like you just can't keep going. There's moments where it all feels too much. And that's often where that inner wisdom just says, go on, you can. One more step. Just one more go. Go on. Try again. Just try again.
Yeah.
Or give you a little idea, just a little impulse of energy, that tiny little thing to say, go on, just one more time. And it's always just wants us to be happy.
It's so true. So true. And who do they discover underneath
they discovered that the real self, that's why Conway brought the real you, a more authentic version of themselves. I try and put it in, I use this little diamond thing here. If you think of it like this, it's probably that way up. This is how we come into the world. Beautiful, pristine, pure little diamond. And life kind of does this to us. Okay. People say things or do things. They don't say things. They don't do things. And we start getting covered in the grime of life, of doubts, lack of worth, lack of value, unsafety, disconnection, rejection, pain, hurt, all this kind of stuff. Till eventually we look in the mirror and what we start to see is that all the stuff covering us up. But when people can stop trying to make that pretty, because then we can try and put pretty gold stars on top and make all this look nice, okay? When we can stop doing that for a moment and start peeling it away and have the courage to kind of look at what's underneath, then what they start to see is, actually, I'm all right. I'm okay underneath. That means that's what I really am. That's what I've always been. Just I forgot because life hypnotized me to think I was something else. And right. So that's what they find is like something they've been looking for out there is always there underneath all along. And that's the most beautiful thing I found from working with people. All these years, they try and seek happiness, worth, value in something outside of them. We read this in a book. Yeah, look for the answer within. When you actually find it and you think, oh yeah, now I get it. It's such a beautiful feeling to suddenly feel that. So what people find is they think they're going to find fear. They think they're going to find their worst fear. They think their worst fear is going to come true, that they are unlovable, that they are no good. They are not good enough. That's what people think. But what they really get on the other side of that fear is a huge sense of freedom. That, oof, now I can be myself. Better than what I thought it was. I'm more than I think I am. Okay. So that's what people find.
I love that. Thank you. And for the person listening right now, what's the very first step to noticing one of your own invisible beliefs so you could actually start to see what's been there all along?
I'd say something you can do is if you've had a problem going for a while and you keep trying the same solution to it and it doesn't work, that's a good sign you've got an invisible belief because it means you're just going, there's something keeping you stuck there.
Right.
And no matter what you tell yourself, no, I just need to do this, then I'll be okay. I just need to do this, then I'll be okay. No, really, if I can just do this, I'll be okay. And it's like, no. You've got to question what you're believing in that moment that's making you want to do that. I am believing this, so I think I need to do this. And usually that belief is what needs challenging. That's the place to start. If you can make a list of what you're believing, there's another good exercise you can do, okay? If you've got a situation where you're really stuck, if you just... You can do it by talking into a phone or just writing it down. Everything you think about that situation. I think this, I think this, I think this, I think this. And use that word. I think this. I think this. I think this. When I'm doing with the client, I might get two or three pages of thoughts from them. I say, keep going. Come on. I think this. I think this. No, keep going. I think this. I think this. Okay. Until they run out. Okay. Then you take every one of those statements and you put in front of it, take away I think, and you put I'm afraid or I'm scared that. And then you get a list of fears. I'm scared of this. I'm scared of that. I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid of this. Just pour out your fears. Now, the world of positive thinking says, no, don't focus on that. Don't focus on that. But I say, forget it. It's rubbish. Express your fears. I'm afraid of this. I'm scared of that. I'm worried about this. Write them down. Express them all. Okay. Until eventually you've said everything you're afraid of and given it some conscious focus. Right? Because if you don't give it some conscious focus, you're going to give it subconscious focus, which is worse. So right. Give it some conscious focus. Once you've done that, then take away the word afraid and write down, I have been believing that. And you get a list of beliefs. I chose those words specifically, not I believe that, but I have been believing that, because that allows for it.
Right.
I've been believing that this, I've been believing that, I've been believing this. And you get a list of beliefs. Once you've got that, then the next bit is on the end of each one of those, you put, but actually, I've been believing this, but actually, and your mind will go looking for a positive. I've been believing this,
right.
But actually, and if you do that, you'll start to get something outside of the belief system that's coming from inside of you that will help you step outside of that loop. Right? And that's not a quick and easy affirmation you get in a positive thinking book, but it's a lot closer to what happens in a one-to-one session where you've got someone taking you down through those. So thoughts, first of all, now analyzing thoughts, change them into fears, change them into beliefs. I have been believing. Do that first of all. Then I have been believing this, but actually I've done that with the sports people who've won, you know, racing driver did it with, who a female racing driver, became the first ever woman to win the British Jeep Grand Tour competition, beat all the guys. They were really annoyed, but she won that. And we went through every single fear she had from racing. Did it with other sports people, European champion, jet skiers, footballers, business people. You can do it in a very one-to-one conversation. If you got a friend, you know, you can do it with a friend, just a coaching buddy, just right. Ask each other. And something else really important is just thinking it doesn't work. You have to get it. You have to say it. You have to verbalize it. Sometimes the biggest emotional shifts occur when you say one of these things out loud and you hear the words come out of your mouth. It's like, and the emotion will come with it.
Right.
That moment, it's like, something just changes.
Yeah.
That's another reason why it's hard to do it yourself sometimes, because you're just thinking things.
Yeah.
And you can verbalize your deepest pain, worst fear. You can put that into words and say it to someone and have them just listen.
Right.
That's huge. Yeah. Then things begin to change.
Wow. And you've helped people overcome things that they were sure they'd carry forever. Confidence, fear, self-sabotage, lifelong patterns. I want listeners to understand the difference between a burst of motivation that fades by Friday and the kind of change that actually holds. What does genuine, lasting transformation look like?
I'll tell you a story. When I first moved to London, and I was a punk rock guitarist, this is back in my early 20s. Billiardo haircut, running around and having a great time. One night on one of the underground stations, there's three, we call them escalators in the UK, like a moving staircase. I'm not sure what you call them in the US. You get on there and it goes to the top. But there was these three big escalators coming down the tube station, the underground station. And I looked at my two friends and said, I wonder if we can run to the top. We chose one each to try and run up these escalators. And it was a bit late. We'd had a few drinks. And I remember getting halfway up this thing thinking, this is exhausting. You know, I'm running to stand still here. And I looked across and I saw the other two were doing the same thing. They were like getting out of puff, trying to get to the top of these escalators.
Yeah.
And that's what it's like trying to use motivation and willpower. You're running up against this escalator. And the thing is, the moment you stop, you're just back at the bottom. And that's what we found. It's like down the bottom where we started. Well, if you keep going, you have got the willpower to get to the top. There's another one and another one, another one. And compare that to stopping for a moment at the bottom. You find the switch, go chunk, and it becomes an up escalator. And you get on, you can stand up and kind of, you can whistle your happy off if you want to. Or then if you use motivation, you're powering up really quickly.
Yeah.
So that you're making sure that your inner belief system is working with you rather than against you. And that's the difference between pure motivation and resolving an internal conflicting belief system.
I love that. Now, why does change happen at the root state when changes, you know, are forced from the surface, always seem to slip away?
Changes on the surface tend to be in your headspace, the logical, rational, whereas deeper, lasting change tends to be more embedded in your psyche and your subconscious. I know the subconscious is very conscious, like I said. It's not this automatic thing, and it's not like a computer to be programmed. It's like a being always within us.
Right.
If our logic is trying to change something, but our inner subconscious hasn't lined up with that. That imagination of the subconscious is far more powerful. Think of it this way, okay? If we put a small plank of wood on the ground, maybe 3 or 4 meters long, and say, can you walk along that plank? Most people could do it, no worries, okay? If we say, oh, by the way, we're going to put the same plank now between two skyscrapers, two buildings. Can you just walk across it, please? Is that the same plank? Okay, no difference. Just walk across it, you know? The imagination kicks in. And then we go, yeah, but what if this happens? What if that happens? And suddenly something that was simple, it's the same piece of wood, you know, that imagination has started to create fearful outcomes and negativity. And that begins to create doubt and emotion. And that is what makes it difficult.
Yeah.
So the surface level motivation is, yeah, I can do that. But the inner one says, wait a minute, hang on a minute.
Yeah.
And that's where the problem arises. So you've got to get it down to that inner knowing level. Yeah, I can do this. I'm all right. So the mind says, yeah, we can do this. And that inner knowing says, yeah, I agree. And that's what we're looking for. That's why I think of it as peeling away limitation rather than just trying to be positive.
Right. And what would you say to the person who's quietly afraid it's too late for them to change?
What I would say is your inner mind, your inner self has no perception of time. Right? It doesn't realize, it doesn't know you're old. Or older, there's a problem because our minds act now as if whatever caused it is still going on, is still there. So the reason why we could have an issue caused when we're 7, for example, but we're still experiencing it when we're 37 or 47 or 57 or 77 is that part of our brain isn't updated to say those years have passed. And what I find is usually when I take someone into that inner space, they're still very aware, but they've just got their eyes closed. When we hit that space, at the end of a session, I always ask someone, how many minutes do you think I had your eyes closed for? And they usually say, 20 or 30 minutes. I say, well, you know, that was an hour and a half. You know, that's nearly 2 hours. I said, look at the clock, you know? Because when you hit that zone where all this stuff is stored, you lose perception of time. That says it's too late. It makes no difference because that part of your mind doesn't perceive time. All you have to do is access that level and resolve it, and it can go away.
Right.
The length of time you've had a problem is not anywhere near as an important factor as your willingness to face up to it.
Right.
Somebody comes in and says, I want you to help me. And they're like this. Oh, God, here we go. All right. Yeah, that's a good question. You get a one-word answer. That's hard. Somebody says, I've had this problem for 60 years, all my life, and I just want to be free of it. And they're gushing. That's fine. Yeah, great. I said, tell you what, just close your eyes a moment. We'll take you on a journey together. So it's not about time you've had it. It's about the intensity of your willingness to be free of it.
Yes, I love that. Now, 33 years, like more than 20,000 people, one at a time, sitting across from you at a moment that they decided something had to change. After all of that, what do you understand now about people, about change, and about what really holds us back that you wish someone had told you at the very beginning?
I think if somebody told me at the very beginning to stop focusing on the details and focus on the emotional patterns, that would have sped a lot of my learning up. Okay. It's 20,000 sessions, by the way, not 20,000 people, because some people came for quite a few sessions just to make sure I'm not saying anything that's not quite true. But what I noticed was people will tell you a lot of details of their story and their life. One of the things when I'm training practitioners is you've got to learn to spot the words, pick out the words and phrases that mean something. Because there's a lot of story, a lot of noise. The person, it's not noise, it's their story, it's their life. But when you're trying to help someone, it's noise, you're trying to find your way through it. How do we, that one there, that's important, that's good. I wish somebody had taught me to look for the key factors, the important things, the emotional hotspots, first of all, and not the noise. Because I got caught up in the noise, first of all, in the story. And you get caught up in story, then it's really hard to do something about that.
Yeah.
So what I would have loved to have taught myself 30 years ago is hear the story, listen to the story, but that's not where the answer is. Look at the pattern underneath it. When you do that, you can help someone a lot more. And the same with yourselves, you know, anybody listen to this. It's natural to keep telling your story. You have a problem, you tell your story. You want someone to tell your story to, because you want someone to hear you, you know, hear your story. I remember once I had a chap come to see me and I said, how can I help you? And he talked at me for nearly an hour and three quarters nonstop. It took a lot of concentration from me. I sat a few feet from him, just listening. And when he finished, I said, right, so it sounds like this has happened. You think this, you feel this, it's made you do this, this causes this, and this happens. And this big guy just burst into tears. And he says, that's the first time in my life somebody's actually understood me. I thought, thank God I listened. Thank God I shut up. I shut up for the three quarters. I was concentrating so hard to try and pick through all the story, all the details. So anyone listening to this, if you're telling a story, it's fine. We all want to be heard. We all want to be listened to. There's something beautiful to have someone really listen to us, really understand us. It's a beautiful, beautiful feeling to have that. But if you find yourself keep doing that, it means you're perpetuating it. So you've got to feel what the feeling is behind your own story. So pay attention. If you hear yourself telling the story again and again and again, notice that. Okay, what am I saying? What am I trying to get from this? What am I afraid of here? What am I believing? What am I missing? What do I want? So start asking yourself these questions, and then you can start learning to do that for yourself. It's not easy. None of this is easy. Simple. It's not easy.
And you've written an amazing book. Can you tell us a little about the book and what motivated you to write it?
Yeah, sure. So the book I've got up here called The Real You by Penguin is, I had an idea to write a book for a long time. And in one of those weird set of circumstances, the senior editor of Penguin booked him for me as a client to check me out. They've been looking for someone to write a book on the same sort of topic. And they came to check me out. I did a few sessions with this person, really helped them. And she said, I like your ideas. Can you write a book? And I was advertised as a hypnotherapist back then. I still do that, but I've evolved beyond that since. And she said, can you write a book about hypnotherapy? And I said, no, there's loads of great books about hypnotherapy, but I'll write you a book about how to transform your life if you want. And they said, oh, okay, yes, please. So that's what I wrote. And I tried to put into a book what it's like when I take a client through a session, on the journey I take them through, how can I translate that into a book that someone can read and work through and get the same experience. So the first part of the book is, it's a very easy read, the first part. You can read it, some case history, some stories. It's explaining some of the things I've spoken to you about, a bit more detail, how your mind works, how problems are created, how the mind takes information, processes it, how we get triggered, what to do about it. It's a very, very easy read. The second part is an easy read, but it's quite a button-pushing one as well. And it's asking the kind of questions I would typically ask a client. So it's more like somebody said, it's not like self-help. It's not like it's like therapy in a book. It's like really hard therapy in a book. That is an easy read. And lots of people have read it and said, I never read those books, but I really enjoyed it and it made me think. So
yeah,
what inspired me to write it was, how do I take this ball of knowledge I've got from all these experiences and put it in a way that people can use? And that's what it was. And so when that lovely fortuitous meeting between the editor, Penguin editor, and myself, I just thought, oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's perfect timing. It's just going to happen. It was a good collaboration.
That's wonderful. Where can people find your book?
It's available on the usual places, Amazon and Barnes & Noble and Audible and all those kind of things. So yeah, you can get a copy. Usual retailers. Yeah.
Wonderful. Love it. I'm excited. Now, what else do you do? Because I know you provide different services, and can you tell us a little about them?
Sure. So I do have some one-to-one services where people work with me one-to-one, and we have a quick chat, first of all, just to make sure it's a good fit and see what they want, and I can give them an estimate of what I think it will take to help them sort their problems out, help them get where they want to get to. So there's that side of it. But I also have a practitioner academy too, where I teach all the methods I've learned to others. And sometimes that might be coaches or therapists or practitioners who want to get deeper skills. Sometimes it's people who are just looking for a career change. They're the natural helpers, the people who people already talk to. One of the things I look for when I'm interviewing people for this training school is, like, I wait for people to say, well, people already tell me their problems anyway. I'm a good listener. People always open up to me. That's a great sign. Big tick. So those kind of people, I say, what you want then is some fine-tuning some skills. So when people start telling you their stuff and you think, this is great, but what do I do with all that? And sometimes they tell you more than you want to hear.
Right.
So what do you do with that? And if you want, how do you then build a career out of it? So I had the Practitioner Academy as well, which is where I share a lot of my passion, and I put a lot of energy into that as well, and share a lot of things with students, and we take them on a journey themselves. Plus there's some courses. I've got some personal development courses. There's a book, a course I created to go with The Real You, a 60-day course. So it brings the lessons to life with me talking and videos and helping people, guiding people through the exercises visually and auditorily as well. So that's another great way of helping people just get more than reading, because some people like reading, but they want something to take them through it. So there's that side of it as well.
Yes. I love that.
Any of those ways people can get in touch with me.
And what is your website? Where can they find you?
The website for myself, my book, and my courses is andrewparr.org. And the training school is andrewparracademy.org. And either of those two, I'm available. They can message. Just have arrange a chat, first of all, if anybody's interested in something we can.
I love that. Now, for the listeners out there, we spend so much of our lives trying to become someone better. And most of us, you know, have that idea that all of it might be, you know, the person that we were reaching for was never missing. But we don't actually realize it until someone leads us and brings us to that point. Because just hidden under the beliefs we never choose, you know, is, you know, that the ability to free the idea that that person was reaching was never missing in the first place. They were always there. You know, Andrew Parr has spent a lifetime helping people peel back those layers and meet the real version of themselves underneath. And today he showed us that waking up from our condition isn't just possible. It might be the most important work any of us ever do for ourselves. Andrew, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show today. And they can find The Real You and connect with you and your academy on your sites that you had just mentioned. And if this episode made you feel, you know, that you wonder what that invisible belief might be running your life, share it with someone who has been trying to break through the same wall. You know, I really thank you so much for coming on the show today. You really, you know, so many people have limited beliefs inside us and they hold us back, you know, throughout life. You know, it's, people feel so many different things, and I'm not good enough. You know, I'll never make it. You know, they have so many fears, the beliefs, and they trained their brains for so long that they actually believe all these things. And to them, it's real. When the real you, like you mentioned, is really underneath. And if we let go, those things will be freed. And we can be the real person that we were always meant to be and reach our full potential. And you showed us today with your wonderful answers. And I thank you so much for coming on the show today. I thank you for providing all this great information and all the advice that you've given us today. You're a wonderful individual with a lot of knowledge. And I thank you so much for taking the time to share it with us.
Thank you, Stacey. It's been a real pleasure. And thank you for being so thoughtful with your questions and for all your viewers and listeners for taking part. You know, life is not always easy, but it is there to be lived. And
yes,
one of the things I learned was to let go of judging my progress on external factors.
Right.
Let go of it. It's not about what you achieve out there. It's how you evolve as a person. That's the biggest measure of success of a person's life.
Yes.
Nobody knows what each other's journey is. We're all on our unique journey. So one person could be achieving this, another one could be achieving this. It's completely irrelevant. It's how we evolve internally as a person. That's the biggest measure of success of our lives. And it's got nothing to do with what goes on in the external world. And if everyone can at least be aware of that idea, it can set you so free. I just go, stop doing that. I can focus on this. That's all that matters. And that's if I could leave one message, I'd say that'd be a really good thing for people to be aware of.
I think that's a wonderful message to leave. You know, I think people, you know, if they could just let go a little and, you know, let go, focus so much on the external self, but focus on their internal self, you know, what a change, you know. And if there is something they could do today, before we go, what would you suggest someone could do today to start on this path of healing?
I'd say the first thing that comes to mind is to promise to be nice to themselves, just be kind to themselves. To start with that.
I love
it. Be self-approving. Imagine if you had a photograph of someone on your mantelpiece, you look at it and think, oh, they're just pouring love into them. Could be a pet, could be a person, doesn't matter. And just imagine that someone, somewhere, something is doing the same for you, saying, it's okay, it's all right, you're doing great, stay with it. Just be kind to yourself, be loving, be accepting of yourself, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, it's okay. You're doing your best. And
I love
let go there, find that inside, and that's enough. You do that, and that's enough. That's a value-fulfilled life. If you can focus on evolving yourself, that's enough.
Yes, I love that. I love that. Thank you so much, Andrew. I appreciate you so much. And I appreciate you took the time to come on our show today. Thank you.
You're very welcome. It's been a pleasure. Thank you, Stacey.
You have a great day.